This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This is Real Relationship Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee. Real Talk is a podcast that covers everything that will help you to improve yourself and the lives of others. And just sometimes we might discuss the tea in the streets. Now, I want to introduce Dr. B. Pope and Fee, the Busy Bee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Fee, the Busy Bee.
And I hope that you're having a great start to your Saturday morning. And I just want to let everyone know that we appreciate everyone. And if you're starting your morning off listening to Real Talk,
you started your morning off right.
Now, I just want to encourage everyone. There was some technical issues at 10, but we are here ready to rock and roll. And I'm so happy this morning because my best friend, my love of my friend, is in the studio with me this morning. And I know she's been sick for a while. She's been down and out. But guess what? She is back. She's not 100%, but she's back with me in the studio. Because we were going to have a show last week, but I said, I don't want to have a show unless I have my wife by my side.
Yeah, you're so funny.
Well, anyway, I hope that you all had an encouraging week. I hope that you were able to encourage someone. I hope that you were able to learn something from someone. And I hope that you were able to give back. I know for myself, it was an encouraging week last week because my mom had her 76th birthday. And not only did she have her birthday, but she had birthday parties for her 76th birthday. And she had mentioned one time that she had never had a surprise party where a lot of people were there. And guess what? Her husband made that happen last Saturday, and it was awesome. We had so many family members down from out of state. We had a lot of friends there, and just a lot of people joined together to make this an awesome event. And my mother, not only did she have a Saturday celebration, but she had a Sunday celebration as well. So she had a birthday event weekend.
That is so cool. I know she was encouraged. And 76 years, that's a blessing.
76 years. So happy birthday, mother! 76 years young. And I know for myself, I'm just happy to be back in the studio with my wife this morning. I'm serious. I love her so very much. I mean, and I know a lot of you all out there are getting ready to celebrate Mother's Day. And I'm telling you, I have an awesome mother, but I know my wife, Felicia, is awesome as well. She has been an awesome mother over the years, and she loves, she cares, and she shows so much grace and mercy. And then as a wife, she's always right there to support me. So happy Mother's Day, Felicia Faust. Pope, the busy bee.
Thank you so much.
And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there in Radio Land. So today we're going to be talking about someone whom I know that you all know very well, you know, for our Black History fact of the day. We're going to be talking about a man who's impacted all of our lives at one point or another. And we're going to be talking about the 44th president of the United States, and that's Barack Hussein Obama.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
Barack Obama's inauguration as President of the United States was a day few of us believed we would ever see in our lifetimes.
And his success seemed to mark a profound change in the history of America's tortured racial politics.
Very few people had ever heard of Barack Obama when he gave a keynote speech at the 2004 Democratic Convention. I remember thinking, who is this guy? He was so exciting and charismatic and put forward a vision of America that could excite all of us across race.
There is not a Black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America.
Barack Obama was offering the country a kind of aspirational vision of what it could be, and it proved to be politically very, very powerful.
Despite the enormous excitement that had greeted the speech across the nation, when the first-term senator announced his candidacy for president, it struck many as an exceedingly long shot.
There was a lot of hesitation in terms of whether or not a Black candidate could win the presidency and whether or not voting for him would be, in effect, throwing away a vote.
Though his presidential campaign focused largely on issues other than race, Senator Obama felt compelled to address the subject after an inflammatory video surfaced, quoting his pastor, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, out of context. With his presidential prospects in dire jeopardy, Obama confronted the issue directly with a brilliantly wrought and deeply personal speech.
I can no more disown him than I can disown my white grandmother. A woman who loves me as much as she loves anything in this world, but a woman who once confessed her fear of Black men who passed her by on the street.
I think the fact that Barack Obama had grown up in a household where he did not have firsthand experience with, you know, relatives who had gone through the litany of horrors that is in, you know, the history of Black people in this country meant that he had a perspective on race that very few African Americans in this country have.
We may have different stories, but we hold common hopes. We may not look the same and may not have come from the same place, but we all want to move in the same direction towards a better future for our children and our grandchildren.
There were African Americans who saw the speech and said, oh, okay, he understands where we're coming from. And there were white people who saw the speech and said, he understands that, you know, I'm not a racist, even if I have these ideas that people might think are unpopular about race. That was the masterstroke of that speech.
Obama's unifying message resonated with voters across the country. On November 4th, 2008, they elected him the first African-American president of the United States of America.
Okay, y'all, we got our first Black president.
The idea that there is a Black president, that Black children, that Black people can go out and say, there's somebody that looks like me in the White House. And not just Obama, right? Michelle Obama, their children, that there is a family that looks like me in the White House is huge.
Well, I just want to let you all know that I'm so encouraged about that, because I want to say that Barack Hussein Obama, our 44th president, was an incredible man. And a lot of people always talk about his legacy. And you have some haters who believe that he didn't do enough for African Americans. But you got to understand that he's not working by himself. He had to pull from the Congress, House, and everybody else. So I just want you to understand that. But let's talk about some of the incredible things that he was able to accomplish in only 8 years. And I think that how he dealt with the recession, because when he came into office, remember, we had a recession. He was able to turn that thing around in a matter of a couple years. He was able to negotiate the Iran nuclear deal. He was able to end the war in Iraq. But I think one of the most important things that will be his legacy is that he started the Affordable Care Act. So at this time, let's give it up for President Barack Obama.
It's time for the tea.
Well, the tea is, I know Feed the Busy Bee is a little ill this morning, so I'm going to start off with the tea now. And this is pretty cool. I love the Marvel Universe. I mean, with Wesley Snipes and all of the Marvel characters. But Wesley Snipes, who started, and a lot of people don't realize that he was the first one to give Marvel their footing as he starred in Blade. So this week, it says Wesley Snipes just made Marvel history, officially holding the Guinness World Record for the longest career as a live-action Marvel character. Nearly 26 years after his debut in Blade, he returns to the iconic as the iconic Daywalker with the surprise cameo in Deadpool and Wolverine. Snipes beat Hugh Jackman for the title and proved that he still got it. So I love it. So congratulations on Wesley Snipes.
All right. In other news, we know that Shedeur Sanders, we're so fired up about him. He's already went down to the Cleveland Browns and doing the things that he normally does with impacting the community, which has been great. But I think the thing that was a little different is that we know that Shedeur will not be having the number 2 anymore. He will be rocking the number 12, which we know one of his best friends, who is that?
Travis Hunter.
So they're both going to be rocking the number 12.
Well, that's cool. So how do you feel? Well, I know you're sick. I would have some more dialogue with you because I know you
I'm
are Shedeur.
Sorry, I can't.
Yeah, you can't.
You know I talk about Shedeur.
Yeah, she'll talk about Shedeur all day long. So congratulations, Shedeur Sanders, I mean, for doing your thing. And even though your stock quote dropped, but you're still high in our eyes. I mean, seriously. And now you get to go over there to Cleveland and do your thing, brother. And I know that you're going to go and show out. I mean, because that's what you have in you, brother. Also, we have some news, and this is from last week, but I wanted to talk about it just for a quick minute. And Feed the Busy Bee can't comment that much because, you know, her voice, but I want to talk about this. You know, the Eagles had their White House visit on April 28th. So this was last week's tea, okay, to celebrate their Super Bowl, you know, victory. While the team was invited, not all the players attended, you know, but the Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts, he was among those who skipped the event. President Donald Trump hosted the team and spoke at the ceremony. Many were upset. Now, this is where some of the little drama comes in, because many were upset because, Saquon Barkley visited the president and played golf and talked to him, you know, hung out with them and just kind of like they were all, you know, old buddies. And a lot of people had, you know, they felt some type of way about that. And I think Saquon Barkley got on social media and he was talking about how he respected the office. And that was the reason why he actually did all of that with the president in spite of everything else that he's doing. So I have a question for everybody. How do you feel about that? Do you think that he was right by hanging out with the president, doing all of these things in spite of everything else that was going on in the world? Or like Nelly said and Snoop Dogg, hey, I respect the office. So
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That's the conversation. Now, on the flip side, D.L. Hughley, I don't have the audio clip, but he kind of went in on Saquon because he said they always talk about respecting the office, but the president is not respecting the office because he's doing everything to take away black rights. So he's not being presidential. But then on the flip side, Saquon is he has a fiance, and they brought back tweets from her account from about a year ago. She was talking about, you know, I'm trying to get me
so she used the N-word.
Yeah, she was like, I'm trying to get me a N with money. So she's saying, I won't be dating a broke A-N. You know, and she's saying all of this, and this is his fiance and the mother of his two children. So what do y'all think about that? You got anything to say? I know you can't hardly talk.
First of all, I was thinking Jalen Hurts, why he didn't go. I mean, I'm not even thinking about this other guy.
Oh, okay.
To be honest. And I think that, you know, it depends on the person, but I think that we throw around the N-word so much. Mm-hmm. I don't really take a lot of weight in that as far as what she did. And I think with the whole thing with Trump, with him, I mean, I think that's just what, you know, what people do. You know, I mean, it's his actions. It says nothing about the team or, you know, the Eagles or anything like that. It's just something that he made a decision to do while he was there. Mm-hmm. But my question is, why did Jalen Hurts not go?
Well, Jalen Hurts said he had other engagements.
That was his answer?
Well, I think that was his answer, and he didn't want to go. I mean, I think he just kept it politically correct. He just said, I had other engagements.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And people can choose if they want to go or not. You know what I'm saying? But I think the flip side of that, people were focused more on Saquon, him doing all this stuff with the president who's demeaning people of color. So I think that was the conversation.
Right. And that's what I said, you know, it's a problem with him as an individual. And the girlfriend, like I said, people just throw around that word. So it's like, if you're around somebody and they don't really regard that word as something that's offensive, then people around you gonna act the same way.
But now see, this is a whole nother conversation. I know we don't have time to go into this, but what about women who aren't black but who use the N-word but then talk about, that's who I want to date because I'm not dating no broke A-N. So what about that? You know, because basically, is she a gold digger? You know, I mean, she was putting that out there, or she was just making a statement?
I just think that's the thing women say now.
Oh, okay, so no matter if you white, black, yeah, Asian, Hispanic.
That's just something they go to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Well, all right. Well, that's the tea, you know, for the day. So what we're going to do, we're going to continue our conversation on, should a man pay for everything in a relationship after the break? So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Feed the Busy Bee.
And this is Real Talk.
It's so good loving somebody that somebody loves you back. To be loved and be loved in return. That my heart desires, just appreciate the little things I do. Oh, you're the one who's got me inspired. Keep on lifting me higher. So good, good loving somebody, and somebody loves you back. It's so good needing somebody, and somebody needs you back. Of love, a life of joy, make our goal each other's happiness. I will do for you anything that I can. Oh, every day I wanna do a little more, just a little bit more. It's so good.
wants you back, and that's a fact. It's so good wanting somebody, and somebody wants you back. A fact. It's so good needing somebody, and somebody needs you back. Say my 70-30, now 60-40, talking about a 50-50 love. Experienced over and over again where I've given 80% and she's given 20%. Or she's given 70% and I've given 30%. But you just don't know how it feels to have somebody that you can share your whole life with. Somebody that you don't mind talking to. Somebody that you don't mind going down the middle of the road. I know a lot of guys today, they wish they had somebody just like you. I don't know when the last time that I told you, but girl, you make me so very happy. I think we've got something that a lot of people don't seem to have.
Hey, hey, it's Feed the Busy Bee, and I'm here with Better Care For You. We treat our clients like family, and we live to care. Why call us? We take our mission to provide exceptional in-home care in familiar surroundings seriously. Our services are a companion sitter, personal care, and we also work with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Call us today at 678-900-8397. Again, that's 678-900-8397. Or check us out on the web at bettercare4you. That's bettercare4you.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed, stressed, or lost in life's journey? It's time to find peace and guidance at A Better Counselor Services, your trusted partner in pastoral counseling. At A Better Counselor Services, we offer a safe space for individuals and families seeking support, healing, and spiritual guidance. Our holistic approach integrates faith-based principles with professional counseling techniques, empowering you to navigate life's challenges with resilience and hope. Contact us at 404-992-8273 or visit our website at www.abettercounselor.com to learn more about our virtual and in-person services. Your journey to living your best life continues here.
At first, First we started out real cool, taking me places I ain't never been. But now you're getting comfortable, ain't doing those things you did no more. You're slowly making me pay for things your money should be handling. And now you ask to use my car, drive it all day and don't fill up the tank. And you have the audacity to even come and step to me, ask to hold some money from me until you get your check next week. You're trifling, good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, why haven't I found another? A baller, when times get hard, need someone to help me out. Instead of a scrub like you who don't know what a man's about.
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone?
On my car, pay me back credit, buy me gifts with my own hands. Haven't paid the first bill, but you're steady heading to the mall. Going on shopping sprees, perpetrating to your friends that you be balling. And then you use my cell phone, calling whoever that you think at home. And then when the bill comes, all of a sudden you be acting dumb. Don't know where none of these calls come from. Mama's numbers here more than once. You're trifling,
good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, why haven't I found another? A baller,
when times get hard, need someone to help me out. Instead of a scrub like you who don't know what a man's about.
Can you pay the bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my bills?
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
And me are through. Well, welcome back to Real Talk. My name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Thee the Busy Bee.
And we played two songs there. We played one song by Teddy Pendergrass. And in that song, he talks about a 50-50 love. He says not 20-30 or whatever, 20-70 or whatever.
70-30.
70-30, 80-20. But he talks about 50-50
love.
And I think that is so important. And he's not just talking about money either. He's talking about giving of himself, his time,
right,
everything. That in order for relationships to work, it has to be 50-50. It can't be one-sided. But then we played Destiny Child. They talking about bills, bills, bills. Can you pay my bills? Telephone bill. And start mentioning several different bills. And you have one man in the 70s and you have some young girls probably in the 2000s at that time. And that's almost like it is now, this modern thing. theory that a lot of women are really trying to run down, that, hey, men need to pay all of my bills. So the question is, should men be required to pay all of the bills? I mean, you had nothing to say about that, Speedy? Look at me.
I mean, it just depends on who you're talking about. Are we talking about a married couple, or are we talking about dating couples?
Well, I think both, because a lot of the times when they're dating, some of these women are actually thinking that men should pay all of their bills while they're dating. So I think that when they get married, they think the same way. So it's almost like, I'm not going to marry you unless you're paying all of my bills now. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm going to play you an audio clip that kind of proves what I got to say. And this woman is on an interview, and she's saying that her bills, I think, in 2 months, or, and they're not married now, single lady, her bills in 2 months are about $15,000. And she gives her, I guess, rundown on why someone needs to pay her bills.
$15,000 is not nothing. $15,000 in a day.
$15,000 is nothing. Why does he have to foot it all then?
Because that's just him being in his masculine energy.
Oh, that's what we call it. That's what we call it.
I mean, yeah,
so he's not like, so a man is not masculine if he's not paying all the bills. Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
so where we equate masculinity to financial support. Okay, so what you're telling
me. Yes,
okay,
oh.
So what you're telling me is.
Let me finish.
So every man out there who doesn't have a job, every man out there in a third world country where you can't even barely support your whole family unless everybody's working, is not masculine. That's pretty much what you're saying. I find it very disrespectful that a woman will say a man is not masculine if he doesn't support a woman. We're not talking about his wife, just a woman.
Well, right there, everybody, they're talking about a man paying all the woman's bills. Now, this woman says that, and she says something that I think is controversial.
Masculinity?
She equated masculinity with paying someone's bills. Now, to me, I think that's absurd. But that's what, it wasn't about how I'm treated. It wasn't about how I'm respected. It wasn't about how I'm loved or how I'm treated. It was about, okay, if this person can pay bills, he's showing that he's walking in his masculinity. And again, this is what a lot of women are thinking, single women and also even married women these days, about bills. So instead of just building something together, they're saying, hey, you got to come to the table and take care of me completely. My past bills, the bills I make with you, and I don't have to do anything in this relationship except to do woman things. So this is what's going on in this world today.
Yeah, I just think that it goes back to the situation, you know, but I think the heart and the attitude is not good. And so, you know, when you comment someone like that, the end result is not going to be great.
Right.
Because let's just keep it real. When someone is trying to date someone, mm-hmm. they're trying to put their best foot forward, right?
Right.
So they're going to take you out on these great dates, and they're going to do all these little great things and get you all these little great gifts while you guys are developing a relationship. And then definitely if he thinks it can go a little further, he's going to do a little bit more with the gifts and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And not saying that stuff stops when you guys get serious or you guys get married, but, you know, it's a time in that era of dating where you're really trying to catch that person. As far as, like, you know, you want to try to, you know, love up on them and show them that you really care for them. And so you're doing a little extra. Kind of like the lady, she's going to do a little extra. She's going to make sure her outfit's on point. She's going to make sure her hair done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she gets a little comfortable with this guy, you know, she might just have a ponytail on, you know, next time she's seeing with some tennis shoes on. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's like when you first engage with each other, everyone is trying to make the first impression pretty much. And so after that, it kind of windles down a little bit. And so it sounds like what this girl is saying, that that's just what she expects.
Yeah, that's what she expects. She said, pretty much, don't even look to me unless you can do all of this. And see, and the reason why...
And some guys will go for that.
Well, but what I'm saying, if your goal is to get married, I wonder how many men will actually go for that and then say, I want this to be my wife. Now, like you said, people are going to put their best foot forward. I'll go for that for maybe a couple months if I want to have a, you know, a certain type of relationship, intimate relationship with you. But do you think if that lady's telling a guy this up front, you think that's the wife material right there?
I'm just trying to tell you, people got a lot of issues, right? Yeah. So if I grew up and my dad never took care of my mom, mm-hmm. and I say, you know what, when I get a wife, I'm going to take care of my wife. She ain't got to do nothing.
Right.
So let's say you got a guy with that history, right? Yeah. You know, because we only, our perspective is only like what we've lived and what we've experienced, right. correct? So basically, this guy's going to be thinking, that's good because I'm going to take care of you anyway, baby.
Yeah.
Because my mom would never take care of, I'm going to take care of who I got.
Yeah, but,
and then he may have a good bank account.
Yeah, but.
Or he can do that.
Yeah, but what I'm
but
saying.
But then you have another guy that doesn't mm-hmm. have that perspective, yeah. that's grown up in a house where the parents put in together. It, mm-hmm. it was a 50-50 love.
Mm-hmm.
And it went about the bills. It was about really loving each other and really trying to make something happen together. Because mm-hmm. I do feel like when you work together, you can do more.
Exactly.
You know, and so if you're having someone with that mindset, I don't think that that person with that mindset will connect with someone like that.
Okay, because in a 2023 Pew Research study found that 53% of women age 18 to 29 still believe that a man should be the main financial provider in a relationship, even though over 60% of these same women are employed full time. So I think that's an interesting study. So you're making your money,
mm-hmm.
but you still want me to pay all the bills. Now, see, that's the downside of it. If you're talking about a real relationship, I'm not talking about someone going out on the first date. I'm talking about someone who's in a serious relationship who are thinking about getting married. How a lot of these women from this study in that 18 to 29, 35 range who are single, they still believe that men should pay for everything in a relationship. And that's a very high number. And let me play yeah. this clip, and I want you to.
But Burrell, you pay for everything.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Don't give me that. Let me tell you this: when, like, for instance,
you talking about when we were dating?
No, no, I'm talking about when we first married, and we were in the ministry. But then when I got the school job, guess who paid for most of the bills? Right when we got the ministry, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
It was my wife balling because real estate game had it going on, but we built something together.
Right.
You see what I mean? It wasn't like, okay, your money, my money. It was like, no, let's build this thing together. If you're making more than me in this situation, hey, we it's all going to the same goal, but it was never, ever, I felt in a relationship like I had to do something 100%.
Right.
And I love what this guy says. I want you to listen to what he says when it comes to about paying for everything.
What are the green flags for us in dating?
If I say I'm going to get my nails done, you should always send me Cash App.
That's a wrong one. Easy.
If you want a girl to like you or even love you, it costs money. Now, not saying that, you know, just superficial, because an upper echelon type of woman, it wants a man to be a man. And sometimes that costs money. If you're like, oh, what are you doing today? I'm going to go get my nails done. Oh, how much do you cost? I don't know, $250. All right, well, here's $5. Just go ahead. Get your nails done. Get the little extra scrub.
Now that's another female talking about all that stuff that, you know, she wants a man to do. And again, but I want you to listen
but
to
these
this.
These females are single, right?
These females are single.
And yeah, they don't know what they're talking about. That's number one.
Yeah, they're single.
And that's why.
And I want you to listen to this audio clip. Now, this woman went out on a first date. Okay, first date, date number uno.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted the man to pay for her kids. Dinner. They're DoorDash. So check this out.
Give me some money to leave for these kids. They can get some DoorDash.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, babe.
What's up? I get the door for you real quick.
I know we ready to go on a date or whatever, but I need to leave some money for the kids so they can get some food from the DoorDash. You mind giving me a couple dollars?
Give me a couple dollars for this, our first date. Where they daddy at? With the money.
All that don't matter. I'm asking you. I'm going on a date with you.
I know, but that's not like technically like you're supposed to have that set up before you call yourself going out on a date. The children should already be straight. That shouldn't be like a responsibility on me. Like,
so my kids,
for your kids' food?
Yeah, my kids not important to you. It's a package deal.
We just met. In order for a package deal, we just met. How, like, this all happened like real fast, like I got.
So you're not gonna give me no money to leave for my kids?
No, that's not. you should already have that straight before you called yourself going out on a date. No, I'm not. That's not. You know what? Maybe this wasn't a good idea.
Really?
You don't have your children straight, so you shouldn't be going out on a date.
So you're just going to cancel the date? You're not going to help me with the kids or feed the kids or nothing?
Those ain't feed the kids. They not my kids.
All right.
They're not even.
All right.
Yeah,
cool. You have take care.
Now,
the audacity.
But again, that's not the first video I've seen that like that. I've seen videos.
Okay, so this is their first day. He rolls up. He's trying to open the door for her. Right. She's going, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
And he's asking her money for a DoorDash for her kids.
For her kids. And that's what I'm saying. Where did this mindset come from? I mean, I never remember.
Girl, where's your pride?
Right. I never remember even when I was dating you. You said, okay, you need to pay that. For my roommate. You know, to get her dinner too, but I'm telling you, it's this new wave that is going on in America with a lot of single women and some married women, where they have this mindset. Now, if I was a man making $300,000 or $400,000, hopefully, I would love for Felicia not to have to do anything, and I could take care of her. But we're not in that situation right now. We understand that we both have to bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. And then even if I could take care, let's say if I did make that amount of money, Felicia would still want to contribute something so we can build something great for our future. It wouldn't be just, okay, all Barilka. Let's say if something happened to me. Let's say if I couldn't work anymore. Or let's say if I went through a medical challenge. How would the bills get paid? So these are conversations that a lot of these women don't understand, or they'll leave the man. And then my thing is, if I'm falling in love just because of what you have for as money is concerned, let's say if I lose my job, are you going to leave me?
Yeah, because I didn't fall in love with you because of you. I fell in love because of what you had.
Right. And I think.
And so that's why our divorce rate is the way it is.
Wow. You know, and this is a serious conversation, and I wish we had a whole lot more time, because I was looking at why are women thinking this way? You know, what did you
find out? Like, why are they thinking this way?
Okay, first of all,
and what's the age range in these
women?
Well,
the age range spans from 18 through 40.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a big window. And then you even have older women thinking the same way when they're trying to get married.
Stuck on
a lot of women been focused on their careers for years. And I'm going to say this, for years where they didn't want to get married, but now they're older. Let's say if they're in their 40s or early 50s. Now they want to get married to someone. Now they want this guy
to match everything they have.
Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing about it, if you look at the percentages of how many men make over $100,000 a year, because that's like the goal that everybody always say, at least $100,000. They say from the statistics.
Probably not many.
But let me tell you, from the statistics, 5% of men make over $100,000 a year. 5%.
5%.
The average male income is $50,000 in America. And that's above average for.
And what's the average millionaire?
It's like 0.3%. I mean, it's in the points.
Wow.
It's in the points. So now that's 5% now. Now we're talking about black men. Black and brown men is thinking it drops down to like 2%. So these.
Just for $100,000?
$100,000. Wow. People don't realize $100,000 is still a lot of money. You break that down, that's almost what? $8,000 or $9,000 a month.
Where it's a preference.
Huh?
It's just your preference.
Right, but no, this is what I'm saying.
I'm saying, like, it's where you at.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, a lot of these women are saying that they're giving this boy at least $100,000. One lady said at least $200,000 or $300,000. You know, so where are we pulling all this information from, and how is it hurting dating relationships? Mm-hmm. So the top 10 reasons why they say a lot of women are thinking this way is because of traditional gender roles. Because basically, you know, back in the day, the women couldn't work as much as men. Mm-hmm. So the man works, so they just kind of fall in that mindset, like the husband's supposed to pay for everything. That's number one.
So we're not acting like we did back then, but we're expecting for things to happen back
preach
then.
Sister, and that's okay. The thing. You know, and then number two, a sign of commitment and security. So if a man is paying for everything,
you feel secure.
I'm secure. Now, I'm true.
And it's so war, because that's not true.
That's not true.
Because how can you feel secure, like you said, if something happened?
Yeah.
Then what do you have?
Or if someone's treating you, mistreating
certain way, then you stay in that situation.
Right, just because of security? Your bills being paid. And I think that was the case for a lot of women in the past. And also influence and upbringing, you know, that's the way that, that's what you saw in your own household, yeah. Kind of like you said earlier. And also feminine energy versus masculine energy. They said if I'm a female and I'm working hard and I make $60,000 a year, my man got to double what I make.
Or I'm running the household and I'm telling him what to do.
Yeah, and that's not the case.
Right.
That shouldn't be the case ever.
And that's not masculinity mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah, but it's a warped mindset. Compensation for unpaid labor. So I guess women feel like they... For everything I do, I shouldn't have to work or nothing. You know, I'm emotional strong. I'm your support. I'm your homemaker. I raise the kids, so I don't have nothing else to do.
But I think that's a good conversation. I don't shoot that one down when you're making enough.
Or
sometimes you make the sacrifice and you don't make enough, but you make do because you want to make sure your kid is in a safe environment.
Exactly.
In a learning environment where they can learn and they can have the right supervision.
I don't have no qualm with that either.
Yeah, so I mean,
let's say if we have
sometimes that's just a decision in your house. So you right. gotta do, you know.
You know, let's say if we have four kids, and it'd be okay. Let me do the math. I would like you to stay home with the family. You
right,
know what I mean?
By the time you pay all that daycare and all this stuff, it just depends on what they got going on and what they figured out.
Right, and then dating standards and expectations. Some women see paying for dates, bills, or living costs as part of the cost of pursuing me and maintaining my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay, that's high on the list. And then they say a lot of them are living in a fantasy.
Is number one.
You know, they have the ideal of being spoiled or treated like royalty, and that's attractive, and they want their man to put them in a fantasy.
I think this social media has taken over so much that people think that. So when they see somebody having a Benz with a bow on it with their boyfriend, their husband, they're like, oh, that's what I'm going to get. That's I see that house, that's what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. They don't understand things take hard work and it takes time.
Right.
Nothing happens overnight.
And also, testing a man's willingness to provide. Some women believe that if a man refuses to pay, it reveals a lack of generosity, masculinity, or ambition, and they use it to test his suitability for them.
Well, I will say this. I've been in a situation before where I was with a man and a woman and another man and a woman, and the man sat there and thought that he didn't have to pay, and he just sat there. Now, I thought at that point, that's a wimp. But I didn't think any masculinity. I just thought, man, that's just...
He cheap.
That don't even make any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you as a grown man would come somewhere and think somebody's going to pay for you.
Pay
for you to eat.
Yeah.
Like, that don't even make
sense.
Well,
you didn't even try to pay.
And you didn't try to pay. It was not communicated. You're not going to pay. I mean, so I've been in situations like that where I was just, like, shaking my head. Like, and I think at that point for me, on outside looking in, I don't have that much respect. You kind of lose it after that. Because it just shows you. That's even, like, not even a man, a woman doing that. That's just crazy how you grown and you expect somebody to do something. So I can see their side of things. Like, you know, you being an adult and we both going out together, you ask me out, you should pay for me. So I do get that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially on a first date, I think that.
Or I think just in general, I think when you ask somebody to go somewhere, I think it's on you.
Yeah, I got you.
Because you gave the invite.
Right. So let's hear from what a sister, this is a black married woman, says about the 50-50 romance.
Black people in the most precarious economic position and the last group trying to share. When other groups know that it's through sharing resources, it's through sharing responsibilities that they get into higher positions, that they're more stable as a family. I cannot believe this 50-50 conversation. I cannot believe we have so many women that balk at the 50-50 conversation when you the one that need it the most. You the one that need to pull it together the most. The fact that ego and ignorance will be your demise is embarrassing.
Wow. So that's what this sister talks about. She said in our culture, he said it's a lot of ego. And she said the ego will be the demise if you still hold on to this idea that someone's supposed to take care of you in that mindset. That when you're married, that you're in a serious relationship, you build together, not take away from one another. And I think one guy said it, and I hated I didn't have that video audio clip. He actually said that if I'm paying all my money for bills, how are we going to save? Are you going to save your money? And she like, nope. You know what I mean? So that's the mindset that a lot of people have. And I really do believe in just talking from my experience. I know that everyone has their own perspective. But when you're in a relationship, I'm not saying it's 50-50. You know what I mean? Like Felicia said, no, you pay all the bills. No, we both contribute. I think both parties need to contribute to the, you know, relationship. You know what I'm saying? Both parties need to make a decision. Like, we're going to build this thing together. It's not yours. It's not mine. But if we love each other, we're bringing so much to the table. Not just finances, but support, love, emotional energy, mental energy, and everything else. So that's just my take on that. What about you, Feed the Busy Bee?
I mean, yeah, I definitely agree to that. And I think it is a lot of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you do things together, you build something so much more greater.
That's right. Well, everyone, I hope that you enjoyed the conversation about 50-50 in relationships. I know we could go on and on about this, but I would love for you to, you know, give us a call or just let us know exactly what you think about this 50-50 in relationships.
And I want to hear more from single people because we're married. We've been married 30 years, so it's like we old folky. You know, I feel like we can't really talk on those topics.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we know, like, what you need to do because we've been in the long haul. We know what works. Mm-hmm. I don't think what they're talking about is going to work, but right. At the same sense, I want to hear like their thinking behind why they thinking that way.
Right, that's true. So Feed a Busy Bee, my quote for the week is by Chuck Palahniuk. He says, find joy in everything you choose to do. Every job, relationship, friends, is your responsibility to love it or to change it. So my name is Dr. B. Pope.
And I'm Feed the Busy Bee.
And we are busying out.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk with Dr. B. Pope and Fee the Busy Bee. Be sure to follow Dr. B. Pope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And follow Fee the Busy Bee on TikTok and Instagram.